You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Back in Nashville, we won't be staying that much longer. We're halfway home on our final day at Music City of SEC Media Days, and we've talked to so many different coaches and players, but there's one I am really excited about. I feel like I know Joe Milton, I guess because I've seen you in so many different situations, but thank you for coming by. This is really great for all of us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
This is something that I'm sure you've thought about. I don't want to use the word dream, but I mean, you have been at the epicenter of college football media today. What's this experience been like?
It's been great. You know, it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. I'm willing to come here with my other two teammates and my head coach, so it's a blessing.
For some, it would be intimidating or overwhelming, but considering your path and some of the things that you've done and overcome, and many believe will excel as the starter this year, is it about preparation? Just okay, I can handle this. I like communicating. It's a fun situation.
Yeah, it's about preparation. You know, the more you prepare, the more easier things will be. What guys don't understand is Saturday night's supposed to be fun. So, you know, have fun at the hotel Friday nights and enjoy Saturday games. So the way you prepare Monday through Thursday is going to help you out.
I talked to Coach Heupel earlier, and I don't know that many Tennessee players, but the ones that I've talked to have been very consistent in saying that he's different.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had I'm not going to take you to your former coach, who's different than any coach on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But for those who don't really understand what goes on behind that. Why is he? I mean, I know he's a former player, but a lot of coaches are former players.
Right.
Not almost all of them. But why is he so unique?
He's a player coach. I mean, it's player led. It's a player led team, right? So, he's a player coach. He wants you to be yourself, no matter what. He lets you do whatever. And when I say whatever, I mean the right things, right? But he also give you freedom just like you will have in the NFL. He wants you to become a man faster than you think. So that's giving you the opportunity to do everything in the morning. So we start at 7 and at 12, right? And the rest of the day is yours. So whatever you do in that time, he allows you to become a man. So if you're going to work out, then work out. But if you say you're going to work out and you're not working out, then it's going to show up. So it allows you to become a man early.
That's interesting because every coach is different, and there are a lot of great ones out there who are not players' coaches.
Right.
But there's almost a connotation, Joe, that players' coach, like, do whatever you want. But that's not I mean, does it put more internal pressure on guys who say, okay, we've got more freedom, let's not abuse it?
I mean, not pressure, but it adds the more of becoming a pro. You can study more film. You don't have your coaches up your tail all day. You don't have nobody telling you to come in for treatment. After that 12 o'clock time, if you're going to go in and go get treatment, then you're going to go in and get treatment. If not, then, I mean, that's your body. So if it's going to hurt, then it's going to hurt. But if not, go get some treatment.
In terms of your progression, I mean, a lot of people say the same thing about you, that nobody throws the ball. I'm sure you hear that. I mean, you can't escape it. You care? Are you interested? I mean, what a quarterback's – how do they consume all this conversation?
I don't know, man. I don't really think about throwing the ball far. It's kind of like a –
You do, though.
It's kind of like a thing that just happens. You know, it's a mindset of mine that when I let the ball go, I'm going to let it go. So that's what happens.
That's the great quarterbacks are known for flinging it. I don't want to retrace your path, but in as you get on the field this year during games, I mean, you'll be playing, but the commentators will, they'll go through it all.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived it. How would you describe the journey from one school to another, highs, lows, but through it all, you've had a great commitment to getting better.
Smile. That's one thing I can say that helped me through it all, is smiling. Just being able to be happy through it all, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that wish they was in your shoes, right? So, I mean, I'm happy. I did not get everything I wanted out of college, but I have another opportunity, so it's a blessing.
Yeah, I grew up in Tennessee, and every kid I knew wanted to be the starting quarterback at Tennessee.
Right.
You are.
So, you feel me? It's a blessing. I'm playing for those guys as well, you know. Everybody that want to be a part of Tennessee football, you know, all that, but it's all a blessing.
I mean, I'm aware you're still a very young guy. Sometimes it's easy to ask somebody later in their life. Well, as you look back, you don't have that far to look back. But who have you leaned on and learned from throughout your life and career, especially your life?
Yeah, my grandmother. She's a strong woman. She makes it happen no matter what. And then she just, the way that she cared for people, no matter if that person did something bad to her or what, she's going to care for that person. She's going to make sure that person get whatever they need, no matter the outcome. And I mean, she just take care of me and my siblings, you know, she just makes it happen.
I know a lot of some people who, while they truly love their grandmother, that's also the one person that they do not want to cross.
Right. Yeah, I'm good on that. That's a lady that I actually respect. You know, it's a lot that comes with it. But at the same time, she carry herself the way that she want to be treated. So,
what was it in terms of, was it just a progression of things that happened over your life where you learned that, you came to that, and how did she view all these things that you were going through?
I mean, she told me last night that everything I'm doing now is a blessing. So I mean, my great grandmother, she prayed for me for every game. When I go to the goalpost, we lost her this year, so I'm just willing to have, she have the same spirit as her mother. So being able to have that and have my great-grandma and my grandmother all in one is great. I mean, that's all you can ask for as a person.
So when you're – let's put the camera on her for a second. When you're part of the game, when you're doing things, she's watched you her whole life. Mm-hmm. Does she tell you, hey, Joe, I don't like the way you ran that play, or did she just lay off on that?
Well, she don't know too much about ball. She know that I play quarterback, right? And she know that I can throw the ball far, but she just be excited. You know, every opportunity to her is very exciting for me, just because I'm her oldest grandchild. So, you know, just another opportunity for her to be happy and smile. I love that.
You have such a unique attitude. It's. I'm not saying that a lot of other young folks don't, but too often they're just so busy. I know you mentioned leaning on her, but is it faith? Is it other experiences?
Yeah, faith over fear.
Hang on to?
But also other experiences that I went through. The experience that I went through at Michigan, the experience I went through in 2021 season. It was a lot. You know, it took a toll on me. But at the same time, I fought through adversity by smiling, for one, but also, two, just believing in God. Just believing in him and knowing that he's going to overcome anything. I mean, he's not going to come when you want him, but he'll be there on time. I promise you he will.
Yeah, I think too often we think, I don't want to get too deep into faith, but I will for this particular moment. We lean on faith when we need it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're somebody that knows it's there.
I used to be that type of person that only pray when I wanted something. But I mean, the more you get closer to God, and the more you understand that you pray all the time, right? You want to pray all the time. You want to pray before you sleep. You want to pray. Well, at least you try to pray before you sleep. I mean, sometimes it may be hard when you fall asleep where, you know, before praying or without praying, or when you wake up, you pray. Sometimes you don't pray. But at the same time, if he knows that you have that faith in him, then you'll be all right if you didn't pray one night.
So, Nick, before you go, just expectations is a word, but what are you looking for this year? Is it to enjoy it, to experience everything? What's the roadmap look like for you?
To enjoy it, but also just, you know, do something that Tennessee never done. You know, I wouldn't say never because they've done it before, but
a long time.
It's been a long time. So just to do something with my guys, with my team, and my coaches that are great inside their environment and great inside of Knoxville, you know, just being able to do something with those guys, because we built a bond in there to where it can't be broken. It don't matter what it is. You can talk to guys now, and their outcome is different. Some of the guys sound like me and how I'm speaking. And when I first met them, they was all over the place, right? So now they thinking and talking like me. So I know that we're doing something good at Tennessee.
Doing a lot of good things, great
Sir.
Things. Joe, it's been a pleasure. This has been so much fun for us, and also educational to hear your story and hear about your grandmother. I'd like to meet her one day.
Oh yeah, she'll be to the first game if you're there.
Okay. And now you gave me a good. Something to think about there, because I've been known occasionally I get off the track, and I've concluded I do not want Joe Milton's grandmother upset with me.
Oh yeah, she, I mean, man, she would not be upset with you. But thank you.
Hey, thank you. All the best.
No problem.
Can't
thank
wait
you.
To see you. We'll be back. So much more to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're hour... that Jack Daniels didn't go down well. In 45 minutes away from the end of media days, we have something special in the final hour, as we always do on day 4. And my favorite segment of the week is upon us, because this is the segment that I don't do a thing. I just sit back and let Michael Bratton go to town. Michael, it's great to see you. Really been an entertaining week here talking to you. And I got to meet the previous unknown Cousin Shane this week. Cousin Shane is exactly what I thought he was.
I'd love to get him on here, Paul, but he's terrified. He won't step foot on here.
Cousin, could you just walk behind us for a second? I want you right there. I want everyone. No, come on. I want everyone to, because if you know Michael Bratton's That SEC Podcast, you know Cousin Shane.
Yep.
So, Cousin, just see if you can get into our shot there, and you can stop about right there. And that is that is like the star of your podcast.
He's the star. I just show up and put it together, Paul. Without Cousin Shane, there is no show. So, I appreciate that.
Though I was with the guy the other night, I still don't know who he is. I mean, what is he?
He's the talent. He's the comedy. He's the icebreaker. He's very
funny.
He's the funniest guy I know.
Oh. I guess I caught him on a bad night. Michael, it's always fun. So the questions, I don't have any more questions. I'm out. How many times have you, what's been the most frequently asked question you've had all week?
Most asked question, probably, why do I have Alabama third in the West on my official ballot?
No, don't tell me that.
It's like I said, Paul, it's the decaying dynasty. He's got the worst coaching staff he's ever assembled.
Oh.
And that's not me saying it. That's our buddy Dave Bartu, Matrix Analytical, charts all these, helps coaching searches. Worst coaching staff. He doesn't have a single assistant, Paul, or coordinator ranked as the top two in his position in the entire SEC. Nick Saban's lost his fastball. It's evident by what we've seen on the field. It's evident by what they got at the quarterback position. His coordinator hires. The decade of dominance is over. I've been telling you for months, Paul, LSU's the pick in the West. They're going to be the pick tomorrow. You'll see. And I think even, though I have no confidence in Jimbo Fisher whatsoever, I do like the fact that he added Bobby Petrino. So I think A&M's going to be better than Alabama. No response to that, Paul?
I don't. I mean, what am I supposed to say? A&M ranked ahead of Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, better quarterback, better offensive coordinator, better receivers. I think this is the year. It's now or never for Jimbo. And I said it, Paul, I keep saying it all week. They don't win 8 games. Jimbo's fired. His back's against the wall. They have to show something.
Okay.
And I know we do this every year with him, but finally, I mean, it's time. If it's not now, it's never. They host Alabama. I think that game late in the year, Texas A&M at LSU, I think that decides the West. And I like, obviously, LSU, because I'm picking LSU to win the national championship. I said that on your program before.
You have, yeah. And I'm somewhat kidding here. I'm really just kind of enjoying the silence. But the one thing about what you said, I have to ask you to elaborate on it. When you say decaying, that almost sounds like it's getting rusty and stale. And most people still believe there is enormous talent on that Alabama roster.
Right.
What do you see that some of those who point toward recruiting don't see?
Well, Paul, last time I checked, they were enormously talented last year. They had a number one overall pick. They had a number three overall pick. They didn't even win the division. And Jimbo Fisher at the same time, this time last year, was singing, we got the number one class.
Right.
So I'm not sold on that. Alabama always signs a top two class. And about 40% of the class from 2 years ago is out the door already. So unless these freshmen are ready to come in and be the difference, I don't think that matters.
But they have some great players. You know that. Of course you know that. Everybody knows that. And I just...
They struggle on the road. There's penalty after penalty after penalty. Okay. There's lack of adjustments. People don't realize, Paul, I mean, in that LSU game that they lost, of course, it came down to a two-point play. So you could say, well, they nearly won it. Well, had Nick Saban not gone for it on two other two-point conversions, they failed to get it. He's mismanaging the game. The final two-point conversion, they had too many men on the field. And this is after a timeout, Paul. I mean, when in your lifetime have you seen a Nick Saban team do that?
No. And by the way, I mean, I have said that about last year. But to me, part of the issue last year was the staff.
Right.
And that's now changed. And you don't know. I mean, Reese is a wild card. I know everybody loves him. Nick Saban sat right here yesterday and told me, he said, I love Tommy Reese. I never really heard Saban say that. You didn't hear him say that about Lane Kiffin, did you? But, yeah, is he doing it for other reasons? You know, Kevin Steele, I think we could agree, Kevin Steele was a placeholder for Jeremy Pruitt.
Right.
That's not happening now.
And he's, in his past, an excellent defensive coordinator. And I won't hold last year against him, but I believe he was at Miami. They were awful on defense. Again, I don't hold that necessarily against Kevin Steele, but it's an uninspiring move, Paul, when Georgia is just dominant on the defensive side of the ball. They have, on that line of scrimmage, they win those battles on the field on Saturday. I'm not seeing that. And that's another thing with Alabama. Everyone just assumes we're going to get back to ground and pound. We're going to dominate on the line of scrimmage, the offensive line. The offensive line has been holding them back, I think, the last couple of years. They've not – Alabama, in its heyday, the opponent knew they were going to run the ball. They couldn't stop it. Well, in the last couple of years, Alabama's getting stopped short on those. So I don't know if it's a lack of development. I don't know if it's coaching. I think it's all the above, and we're just assuming, because they're signing all these five stars, that they can flip a switch and be dominant on the line of scrimmage, and I don't see it from Alabama.
But, and the reason people think that is because they always have.
Right.
You said fastball for Nick Saban. What does that mean?
Well, where were the adjustments against Tennessee? I mean, I've never seen anything like that, Paul. There's not a single player on Josh Heupel's roster last year that Nick Saban would have switch for one of his own, yet they couldn't slow it down. I mean, they had to go, what, 60 yards in 20 seconds? Couldn't stop it. I mean, it was pathetic. And you can blame that on the defensive coordinator, which I'm sure they do, but ultimately that's on Nick Saban. And when you're losing those games, could have lost to Texas. I mean, that would have been embarrassing. Lost to LSU. I just think it's significantly downgraded, and particularly coaching on the road. Now, this year, they don't have those challenging road games.
No. But I think other than A&M.
Right, A&M. But we'll find out real quick. Texas, I think Tennessee can go down to Alabama. I'm not saying they will beat them, but I think they can. LSU coming down there. They've had success in Bryant Denny. That's another one.
Final question. If Alabama finishes third in the SEC, what would the record be?
I mean, I don't think there's this massive gap between them and A&M and LSU. Probably around 10-2, with LSU maybe 11-1 and A&M 10-2, with a win over Alabama.
Alabama somewhere in that 10-2 range.
Right. Now, the kid they got from Notre Dame, if he's their starting quarterback, that's a terrible sign. 9-3, 8-4. I mean.
8-4?
I mean, I've watched him play. I don't know. If that's where they're at with their quarterback room, they're in real trouble.
Which quarterback would get them to 10-2 or possibly better?
I mean, I don't even know if he's on the roster, Paul.
Okay.
And you saw that by some of the guys they reportedly.
Is it too late to pick someone up?
Maybe someone from Ole Miss can get dismissed or what have you.
You know, Kiffin says, I'll give you one of my guys.
Exactly. I mean, that's what they may need. It's too late for that, obviously, but maybe they can make some kind of NIL deal that I'm unaware of.
Well, I told you the other night, I said, we always love having you on, and
yeah.
You never disappoint. Today you left me speechless three different times.
Yep.
I look forward to the next time.
I appreciate you having me on, Paul. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put on a Billy Napier press conference. And I'm going to be asleep in 30 seconds.
Michael Bratton dropping the mic on the way out. Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We're back, and we can't wait. No, we can't wait. I can't wait. I'll get my pronoun correct. Eric Woods from the UT Daily Beacon and Caleb Gyro from the UT Daily Beacon. There's no better college newspaper in the world than the UT Daily Beacon. Because
that's right.
Without that college newspaper, I don't know what I would be doing today, but I wouldn't be doing this. Guys, thanks for being here. Eric, tell us about your day here covering the Vols.
I drove up here in pouring rain. I couldn't see 10 feet in front of me, but it's been a good day. I'd mainly just been just taking it all in. This is my first time up here and for media days, so it's really cool. It's really cool to be here. Thanks for having us.
So you're from Louisiana originally?
Yes, sir. What originally, part? Baton Rouge, right in the middle.
So how does a young guy from Baton Rouge end up? I guess you moved to Knoxville.
Yeah. So my family moved to Knoxville a little bit after Hurricane Katrina. So really, I guess I was raised in Knoxville, but we visit Louisiana and miss the food in Knoxville for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love Knoxville, but you don't think of, like, Cajun food in Knoxville, Tennessee.
No, it is not the same. Missed my jambalaya as an etouffee, but my parents cook a good meal, so it's...
I bet they do.
Close to home, yeah.
I wanted to ask you both, because we haven't been able to talk to that many student reporters about that role, especially today in the wake of what happened at Northwestern, where you had a school publication essentially change the direction of that program with the coach being fired. Were you guys watching that fairly closely?
I was watching it a little bit. I didn't pay too close attention to it, but I mean, I guess as a student, you don't realize how much of a role that you have in it, because you're just kind of learning and trying to just figure out your place and everything. But just to see that student journalists do have an impact on things in the professional world was pretty cool to see.
And it's so difficult, though. And Caleb, it's difficult because as a student, you're not only part of the campus, but you may be in class with the players, and I know I was. And you're part of the team in a way, and then suddenly you're thrust on the other side. I realize you're both young and your careers, but how do you balance trying to, you know, be a good reporter and get the message out, disseminate it to your audience, with also the fact that you work at the UT Daily Beacon? It's very, very well connected and associated with the school.
Yeah, so I think it actually helps us, really, because while most beat writers, you're at every press conference, at every game, Eric and I are on campus every day, so we have a pulse of the campus, have a pulse of the classroom, have a pulse of really all the athletes on campus. And it really is like a church and state sort of deal, where you're in class, yeah, you might be friends with a player or have a project with a player, which I know a lot of Daily Beacon people have before, but then it comes time for them to play a game or you're interviewing them for a press conference, and it's like you've never known them before. It's just a work experience. So it definitely is interesting. It's fun, but especially right now with the NCAA investigation, everything, you kind of have to put the student, and if you have a fandom, the fandom aside and cover the team.
Well, it doesn't really change once you move on, because today in the media, that, you know, so many outlets, even from what used to be called legitimate news outlets, are now directly connected to the schools, the fans, and that's what fans want to know about their team. And they're not always that crazy about hearing the underbelly of it.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of, like you said, like forum sites where the fans are super connected. And at the end of the day, our job is to kind of get the news and what happens in the press conference and on the field to the fans. And in our case, it's to the students of Tennessee. You know, we print once a week. And during football season, a lot of our print is about football season, especially last year and hopefully this year with some success on the field from Tennessee.
In relation to what you're doing, you're learning, and it's a laboratory. That's the whole purpose of school radio stations, school publications. But I keep saying the word newspaper, but newspaper is not really an accurate description anymore, is it? Is the Beacon all digital?
We print once a week.
Well, you do come out once,
and then we have our special issues and stuff. But we've mainly gone digital, but we're still like holding on to print a little bit.
And tell us, Caleb, about the world of media as a student. Those of us who have been doing it forever, you know, we obsess about it. It used to be like this, and now it's like this. How do you view it from a collegiate position?
Well, for us, really, a lot of it is the same because you're working next to media professionals. We write often about the same news, the same games as media professionals. I think in our case, like you said, the only difference is while they come on campus for press conferences, games, stuff like that, we're on campus every day walking around, hearing what students are saying, hearing what players are saying, even in passing. And it kind of gives you a different perspective because we're not looking from it from the outside in, sort of say, but we're kind of in it, just not in the locker room. We're just on campus every day. Have a pulse for it, and it kind of helps you to have some perspective when you're covering the team.
As a young student, as a young journalist, Eric, what intrigues you the most about the industry? We'll get back to Tennessee in a second, but it's a very challenged time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever been more fluid in terms of where we're going from this point.
Yeah, I think it's there's a lot that you need to do in terms of like just writing or video or podcasting, stuff like that. I think it's really intriguing because there is a lot you can do. It's for me, it's mainly just finding where that path is, I guess, but trying to be more multimedia, stuff like that. But
what role, this is a silly question because I know the answer, what role does social media play in what you guys do?
Oh, it's a ton because, I mean, really at this point, like you said, print, you can't really track, I guess, view counts or page views. Like, we're looking, Eric and I, at analytics all the time about our website, about social media, what we can do better. I know this spring we tried to revive the UT Daily Beacon Sports account. So for anybody listening, you can go follow at UT Daily Beacon Sports and see all of our sports content and everything right there. But yeah, social media is big for us. And really, as a student at a student newspaper, it's about getting your name recognized and trying to build a following. And that happens on social media today.
Yeah, I mean, it's bewildering because I don't want to, you know, woe is me here. But I mean, when I say something in some other forum and it gets picked up, it's usually distorted. And you can never walk it back because it's like saying, well, how could you say that? I didn't say that. Well, you said it, but you didn't say it. The context is completely missing. And how do you guard against that as you learn the industry as opposed to just looking at a tweet and coming to some conclusion?
It's an mainly just
Well, I think the point being, we tend to just go with it versus, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's really accurate.
Well, yeah, there's been a couple times where I've looked across a tweet on Twitter and it's from a fake account. Like I saw, what was it? I saw earlier in the year that Rick Barnes was retiring or something like that. And it like wasn't real. And I had to like, my family was like, oh, did you see this tweet?
Don't feel badly. I mean, we've reported those on the air. Hey, we got breaking news here. And I mean, and that to me, I mean, that's the challenge of being live because you just.
How can I help you?
I don't know why Siri decided to join the conversation. How can you help me? I can tell you. Give me a drink.
It's been a long week, Paul.
But it's so weird. And I was speaking to a group of students not that long ago, and they said, well, you know, what do we need to be careful about? I said, what you tweet. Especially if you don't know it to be true.
The other day, I mean, it got a bunch of traction on Tennessee Twitter was somebody tweeted out that Joe Milton said he doesn't lose in Florida. But they said he said that in response to if he was asked how he was feeling going into the Swamp this season. When in reality, it was after the Orange Bowl when he had just torched Clemson in Miami. So while he said it, it's out of context. And now Florida fans think they have bulletin board material on Tennessee's quarterback when in reality it wasn't even about that.
The new world, which is actually the old world, because bulletin boards have been around for a long time. Eric and Caleb, thank you. I'm always intrigued by what young folks are doing, especially at a place like the Beacon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. You got to stop by the office.
I will. We hope to be in Knoxville soon, and they had me down there a couple of years ago, and I couldn't believe I was that crazy as a person your age. Don't follow me, please. Learn the right way. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Media days, it's over. We're still here, though. And so are a number of people in the media room. I don't know what the deal is this year. Everybody seems to be working and burning the midnight oil. Ben Portnoy from the State joins us. Ben, are you still working or are you done?
I got a few more things to do. Oh, okay. I've got a few more things to knock out.
Is that just because there's just so much more to do now if you're sent to media days?
Yeah, I think it's I've got a few extra assignments. I probably overloaded my plate a little bit, but that's part of the fun, I guess, right?
So when your coach comes to media days, I remember when I was on a beat at something like this, I would literally follow the guy into every room because you don't know. I mean, like Kiffin said something really interesting in one room. He didn't say it in the other. And we tend to just think, well, if he didn't say it in this room, so what is your game plan? Or what was your game plan?
Yeah, it's usually a lot of that sort of poking from room to room, running around the hotel, basically. That's always kind of a fun story, too, that, you know, plenty of others have done in the past where you follow a guy through every room and sort of behind-the-scenes type thing. So today with Beamer, I sort of bounced around from room to room with him a little bit, you know.
My question about Beamer is this. I mean, is he that bubbly in every room? Or he gets shot out of a cannon. I mean, the guy is like, he makes you feel like you want to just, you know, go run stadium steps.
That's honestly how he is all the time, and I think that's the thing that's so endearing for a lot of South Carolina fans, for a lot of people around college football too, is that what you see is what you get with Shane, and I know that's a little cliche at times, and that's just kind of part of the whatever narrative you want to have, but he really is that way, whether it's booster events, whether it's here, whether it's in side rooms, whether it's just hanging out on the golf course. Like, that's just kind of how he is and how he always acts with people. Frankly, I think it's why he's been, again, like, so endearing to South Carolina fans, to recruits, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I just looked up there, and I'll say something you already know. 15-11. That sounds pretty average, but it there's so much momentum. Help us understand, and I know the two games that set the world on fire, but how has he been able to move this program forward with what in some schools would be just mundane records?
I think it's the nuance of where the program was, right? When Will Muschamp, when he takes over for Will Muschamp, you're coming off a 2-8 season. It was a 4-8 season the year before.
Oh,
things were
I
really bad.
That.
Yeah, you know, it just was in a really bad place. So going and winning, you know, 7 games, winning the Mayo Bowl, beating what in theory was a decent UNC team, that set people up to be excited about South Carolina football again. And I think that when you look at sort of the modern era of college football and the way that Beamer is, he's an easy coach to get behind. Fans rally around him because they like him. They think he's a decent guy. And I think, you know, most people in college football would tell you that too. And when you add those things together, you've got a lot of momentum. They're recruiting really well. That's also part of that momentum, I think. You look at sort of what they've been able to do again in the Tennessee game and the Clemson game, and that's going to excite a lot of people. And that's part of that momentum. But I think that when you look at where this program was under Will Muschamp and the tail end of Will Muschamp going from 4-8 and 2-8 to 7-6 and 8-5, that's a big, big, big jump to make very quickly and under some kind of crazy circumstances, especially in 2021 when you're starting 3 different quarterbacks and all that kind of goes with that.
What's the sense of what happens next? Because the schedule was absurd, and it's always going to be with Clemson at the end of the year, but
not only that, you got UNC at the beginning of the year. I mean, you guys might as well be in the ACC with that schedule.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that, you know, you look at what South Carolina's schedule is, and you know, you look at those first 5 weeks. I mean, you're against North Carolina and Charlotte. That's probably going to be a top 25 game. At Georgia, home against a Mississippi State team that I think is going to be really good. And, you know, there's a world where I think that Mississippi State team finishes third in the West. And then you're at Tennessee, home against Florida. It softens up down the back half, but I mean, there's a world where South Carolina starts 1-4, and then you're treading uphill.
Yeah, I mean, at Georgia, at Tennessee, at A&M, Missouri. I mean, I don't like that schedule.
No, and that's the thing that I think that, you know, you look at a lot of sort of over unders. South Carolina's kind of somewhere around the 5.5, 6. That feels maybe a little low, but I think that that's why, you know, I and others would tell you. I think that if South Carolina goes out and wins 7-8 games, gets to a bowl game, give yourself a shot for an 8th, for a 9th, like, that should be a pretty good season. And I know South Carolina fans are going to say, hey, why aren't they going and winning 10 games, taking that next step, et cetera. But with the way the schedule sets up, you just can't project that this year, I think. Everything works out great, but I still think, you know, best case scenario is kind of like 9.
But then I remember being in Columbia talking to you and everybody for the Tennessee game, and it felt like the season was completely over. I mean, and then 8 days later,
It's unexplainable. I mean, you know, you look at those two games, the last last few games, it's just there's no way to explain going from Florida to the Tennessee game to the Clemson game, and it's just wild.
Thanks so much. Appreciate great conversation, Ben Portnoy. We're back. Another hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.